Scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. This is his closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. May God add a blessing to this word.
this little letter that Paul wrote to the people at Philippi is filled with memorable texts and passages that have inspired and encouraged believers throughout the generations, encouraged them to pursue a deepening of their faith, but also it has comforted and guided them through difficult times. We have had the opportunity in recent weeks to hear some of those passages. To live is Christ, and to die gain. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Those are the ones that we've heard recently. Do everything without complaining. That's the next line. But whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness that is of my own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so, somehow, to attain the resurrection of the dead. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. And I'm sure I have left some out. But all of this is packed into this letter. And I've always been drawn to the message of this letter because of its emphasis on joy and peace, humility and faith. Whenever there is need for encouragement because of circumstances in the world, or perhaps circumstances in the private realm of personal lives, or when the two seem to team up and create a sense of insecurity, an unsettled feeling that things may be falling apart, or maybe a feeling of sadness, this letter lifts us up. It's hard to remember when you read it, that Paul was in prison when he wrote it. And I don't think that there's anything that we can do to diminish the significance of being in prison. Sometimes we might say he was under house arrest, or he was allowed these certain freedoms, but I don't think that that would really matter. And he mentions along the way the church's conflict with its culture when he says, or when he speaks of those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He says their destiny is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. But he also mentions dissensions within the congregation, exhorting these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, to find a way to get along and to work together with the others there. I think most of us are probably driven by our circumstances sometimes. When our circumstances are going well, we feel good. And when there's some kind of trouble, we get anxious. And when bad things happen, it makes us sad. It's only natural. But one of the things I think Scripture does is it forces us to recognize that those swings represent universal truths. That the anxiety, for instance, that we might feel at times of heightened stress is really always there. Even when we are able to suppress it. The proximity of death and the ever-present struggle with sin and evil and the search for meaning are universal. Everyone encounters them, no matter the time and place where they live and no matter the circumstances. They are a feature of human experience that is universal. It cannot be escaped. And sometimes that's what Paul does. And sometimes the Bible is able to help us draw ourselves up out of our circumstances into the more universal situation that we live in. And the temptation, when we know that we fail to overcome sin in our life, or when we know that death is coming and it's like a cloud that covers life, the temptation is to be discouraged. But Paul resists this temptation and exhorts his readers also to resist it. This passage that we have read this morning is famous. It's one that I say out loud every morning when I wake up to remind myself always to pray and to tell God all my requests, to remind myself to be grateful and not to be anxious. Have no anxiety about anything, Paul writes. But he gives us tools, and one of the tools that he gives us is this little phrase that we sort of pass over when we read it. The Lord is at hand, he writes. God is very near. To be aware of God's presence is one of the things that that the Bible suggests to us. To be aware of God's nearness, the God who heals and comforts and strengthens and guides, the God who guards our lives, keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Another tool that Paul gives us is what one might call by itself the power of positive thinking, but I don't really think it is that. It's more. It tells us to focus on the affirmations that we can make. In other words, look at the positives. Speaks of things that are right and true and pure and noble. Speaks of things that are praiseworthy and excellent. And tells us to focus our attention, to think about those things. It really does make a difference. And here's the thing. When Paul speaks of the excellent things, he's telling us, and I think the Bible tells us, that the excellent things are things that come from God. Because God is the source of everything that is good. The excellent things are God's presence. They are reminders of God's proximity, of how near God is to us. One of the things that we noticed in our Sunday school class when we were studying the Psalms is that the beauty of nature, of the grandeur of creation, or the heavens, causes praise. The fall color that is coming, this is a gift. But other things too, the kind word from a stranger, or maybe even from a friend, the encouraging word that just hits you at the right time, the heroic actions. We've seen some catastrophes lately, and we've heard stories about people who seem to have risen above the circumstances and done wonderful things. Friendship. The sound of children laughing. The music of the high school orchestra. Even the giving of an offering for missions or for disaster relief or to alleviate hunger. When people sacrifice for someone else. And I am sure that if you are thinking about it, you'd have your own list and could go on and on of the good things, the excellent things, the praiseworthy things. These things are not necessary. We are not owed them. They are gifts from God to remind us of how near God is, caring for us. Think about such things. Even the letter to the Philippians is a most excellent thing. And so is the 23rd Psalm, which is also the reading from the Psalms for this day. And I was tempted to let it be the focal text, because I'm as inspired by it as I am by Philippians. A song of praise because of God's nurturing care. This pastoral scene, which brings thoughts of anointing, of the restoration of the soul, feasting before enemies, mercy and love and goodness, the promise of heaven. I think we're reminded by all the Psalms, but especially this one, that the vision of beauty and plenty and rest that we find there is always a vision in times of trouble. For that is the meaning of the, even though I walk through the valley of death's shadow, even though we live our life under the cloud of sin and death, we find this wonderful life because, as in Philippians, God is with us. The 23rd Psalm makes us think of David, and we think of the trouble he faced when he was a shepherd or when he was a soldier. Or we might think of the trouble of Israel. I mean, when they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness and they had to trust God for food and water. Or even the trouble of Paul in prison. And Paul writes about the things that he has experienced, and some of them would, of the things that he experienced, would break me. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be able to stand up under some of the things that he faced. But these situations, even the situation that Jesus was in on the cross, have become an example for us, for all people, of how these this beautiful, wonderful life and this wonderful salvation has come to us in the midst of a troubled world. We come to these texts as countless people have before us and certainly will. When the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the wildfires and the shootings and the individual burdens that characterize our lives all come at once. It seems like there's a piling on, like there has been recently. And it speaks to us of God as shepherd, reminding us of God's presence. So I was encouraged when I saw these texts today. And I thought it would be good for us, because most of the time we don't read the 23rd Psalm in worship services. We read them at funerals. That's where I read it most of the time. But I thought it would be good for us to finish this worship service with the words of the 23rd Psalm, as we have been encouraged by the words of Philippians. Let us also be encouraged by this bright and lovely gift, admirable and most excellent and praiseworthy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Dear God, You know what each of us brought in to this worship service. You know the secret troubles and hardships we bear. You know the anxieties that we share. We pray that You would lift them away. We pray that You would take them away from us now in the assurance of Your grace and of the love that has come to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is In the Faith We Sing, It's They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, number 2223, and we invite you to stand it and sing it as a hymn of commitment. Lord, we pray as we go that you would go with us, always reminding us of your presence, of your grace, of your commitment to take care of us, and always reminding us of your love. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, I want you to celebrate.